I traditionally use this time before annual meeting to actually deliver my remarks to you for the annual meeting. So my intent is to provide you with a brief assessment of 2019, which has been a remarkable year. I also want to set the stage to help us envision our parish within the larger Episcopal Church and churches across the nation, which are changing very rapidly at a time of great change, and also in a time of great opportunity for those communities willing to recognize change and creatively seek out the possibilities in this world. And lastly, I will share a brief vision I hope we might work toward to assure the long-term viability while advancing the message of Jesus Christ. I won't go into great detail about 2019 because parishioners have taken the time to write an annual report with all those details, and we will highlight just some of them at the meeting following the service. But I'll provide you with a few highlights. Under the area of finance, in 2019 we did very well as a parish, as you'll see. We may remember that in 2018 your vestry took a bold action on faith to borrow $30,000 to maintain momentum on the parish hall without coming back to you for a major fundraising effort. We borrowed money from our reserves with a promise of paying it back over a three-year period. It gives me great joy to share that we've retired this debt in 2 years and are completely debt-free. The kitchen and the parish hall are complete, paid off, and the money's in back in the savings. Our 2020 budget projects a balanced budget for the first time in years. We ended 2019 with a small deficit. It's because we chose to retire the debt and end with a small shortfall that we won't see in 2020. This success is due to all of us here in this room and others who are not, and the hundreds of visitors who come through our doors and support our many activities. The highlights of our buildings and grounds, of course, was the completing of the hall and the deck. In 2020, we're taking on a few projects that will save some money over time, and you'll hear more about that later. Our social fundraising events are a source of great pride and community building. We continue to support roughly 13 organizations in Hebron and surrounding towns each time we do an event. We are seen more and more as a church who partners within the community. And this will continue in earnest in 2020. In addition, we are hosting with the United Brethren Synagogue and other churches a town-wide Seder meal toward the end of Lent, the most sacred of the Jewish religious festivals. On March 29th, we will experience this sacred ritual meal of the Passover, led by our Jewish brothers and sisters, but hosted by us. By doing so, we will build stronger ties of friendship and understanding. In these times of prejudice and growing anti-Semitism, we must stand firmly on the side that says it is sinful and wrong. We seek the well-being of all and religious tolerance in our community. For 2020, we're making some changes to some of our traditional fundraising events to breathe new life into them and to try on a couple of new events with community partners. In 1986, the town of Hebron expressed interest in purchasing the baseball field. God was indeed watching over the church, and you didn't sell at that time. Nearly a year ago, we put the vote to you again, and you agreed based on a plan to create a protected endowment. We are waiting on a settlement date to complete the sale, and a team of parishioners gathered to develop parameters for the endowment to ensure its long-term future. In 2020, the endowment will be able to accept bequests and other gifts to build up that fund. Most of you probably know I'm here as what's called a priest in charge and not as your rector. And I want to explain the difference. The PIC process allows a church to try on a clergy person and for the clergy person to discern if there is a fit between him and her and the congregation. What people don't understand often about a rector's position is that once they're in place, it's akin to a tenured professor-faculty position, nearly impossible to change. Neither the bishop nor the parish can remove a rector unless there is a very serious violation. It's more like getting married than a hired position. And that's why the PIC process is like dating before getting hitched, and I think it's a good model, actually. Goals are set in concert with the bishop, and we use these years to build trust. The bishops are so pleased with the progress we've all made together, they're willing to accelerate this process in our case. The diocese has demonstrated its support with two grants, one each year for our kitchen and hall, and a possible third grant that we've applied for toward the deck. And they forgave another $30,000 in debt just before my arrival. The bishops have used the hall this year for gatherings, and we had a number of people attend our cathedral centennial and the annual convention in Hartford. The larger church. In the church and the world is changing at lightning speed. And I'll share with you some data to put it in perspective. In 2011, the Episcopal Church in Connecticut had 169 parishes with 107 full-time clergy and 62 part-time clergy. In 2019, there are 157 parishes with just 60 full-time and 97 part-time clergy. Over 20 churches have no regular clergy at all, and only 6 have interim clergy in the rector process. The rest are priests in charge positions or people who have been rectors. There's a group of about 40 dioceses in the eastern U.S. who meet to discuss clergy transition a few times a year. Recently, 32 of these dioceses came together to talk about clergy deployment. So just to give you an example of what we're dealing with. There was a need for a total of 381 parishes needing clergy, of which only 64 of those 381 were full-time, 317 part-time. However, there were only 57 clergy looking for placement in the total 32 dioceses. You can do the math. And this isn't only in the Episcopal Church. The Catholic Archdiocese of Hartford in 2017 went from 217 parishes to 127, closing some and merging 144 parishes. So it's a dramatic change. The United Church of Christ, the Congregationalists, which is strongest here in New England, merged Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island into one conference, the equivalent of one large diocese, so they can maintain sustainability. Importantly, I am not sharing this with you to make you feel bad or even consider this bad news, but rather to simply understand the world we're living in. Our bishop's response to this new world is, we have great challenges, but with it, we also have great opportunities. In spite of the challenges ahead, I believe we at St. Peter's have an even greater chance to become something unique, to make this parish not only survive, but thrive well into the future and become an even more vital member of the Hebron community. We all know the three rules of real estate: location, location, location. The town is investing in building up the core village of Hebron, located directly across the street from us. Now, there's this beautiful new sidewalk linking St. Peter's to the village. And we see people walking up and down it all day in all kinds of weather, because it goes almost 2 miles or more. My hope is to continue to build relationships with our community partners who are also advancing God's mission by serving those in need, the hungry, those who value our history and tradition, serving our children, those serving the elderly, the veterans, and our local businesses. Our church and parish hall, located in the very heart of Hebron, could become the gathering place for all kinds of events and programs. Much like the original Congregational Church, our church and parish hall are the perfect spot to be used as a meeting house for the town while helping secure a meaningful future as a gathering place and a church. In our 2020 budget, we are hoping to use our facilities more and more as a source of income and to build these bridges with our partners in the community. You will note on the cover of our annual report is a gingerbread church. And it's there because it's a symbol of collaboration. Made by Marcia Eaton, it supported a raffle at the Historical Society and actually became the centerpiece of their event. This kind of collaboration with partners, organizations around the area can provide a long-term viability for our beloved parish family, support the Hebron community, and follow the ways of Jesus. It's an old expression I learned as a child, doing well by doing good. And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there someone named Jesus who also said, love your neighbors as yourself, follow me and I'll make you fishers of people? What this opportunity can mean is inviting others to join us in a future at which our church and hall at the heart of the Hebron Village might become a place for the town as well as our home for worship. It will mean building trust and risk-taking to let go when appropriate to allow the movement of the Spirit to continue to flow through our parish and to others. Now, my friends, that's a future I believe has potential for success, and it's joining God in our community with others who are also promoting the gospel values of caring, service, and love of neighbors. I don't know about you, but this is a future that I can personally get excited about. And so let us pray. Gracious God, you have gifted this community with buildings and people who have worshiped in this place in Hebron for 286 years, a building approaching its 200th year of service to begin a 300th year of service. We give thanks for those who have come before us, who have faithfully prayed in these walls and served others. Be with us as we seek to be faithful stewards of this rich heritage that we've been given. May we use all that we have been given to your glory and to serve your people, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.